Conferences. Long agendas, big venues, always on your feet, barely getting to see the people that you want to see, and then, of course, the expense. Well, the three of us at Good Morning Hospitality are launching Good Morning Retreats. Our first retreat is this July 8th through the 10th at the Horst Hospitality Training School in Auburn, Alabama. If you go to goodmorningretreats.com, you'll find out more information about our first retreat that we're launching. We have already filled half the slots. We have 20 available and we have about 13 already filled. So make sure you go there, you apply, show your interest, and we'll get you all situated for our first ever Good Morning Retreat. Thanks so much for tuning into the podcast. And now back to the episode.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Welcome to Good Morning Hospitality, your one-stop shop for the latest news, noteworthy trends, and thought-provoking discussions across the industry. From hotels and short-term rentals to all things travel and hospitality, you'll find each episode equips you with the information that you need to start your week. Join us on Good Morning Hospitality every Monday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy Monday. We're all back.
Best day of the week. I know. How are you feeling? You feeling better?
I'm not quite 100%, but I'm definitely better than zero from last week. So
progress.
Yeah. Pollen. It'll just wipe you out all of a sudden in no time. And then it still hasn't rained. So it's still gross and yellow here. So yeah.
Did you have a nice Easter with the boys? Did you do any egg hunts or things like that?
Ollie got three egg hunts in. Elliot's not walking yet, but next year he will.
Can crawl around after the eggs.
Yeah, and then after the egg hunt, we went on a walk and came home to the dogs had like knocked over all of the eggs and individually stepped on every egg and eaten literally every piece of candy but one. So
wow.
That was a meltdown. That was a meltdown, nice. But it's all right. Stuff happens.
That is like I feel like that's one of those, it's almost like sitcom-y moments where you come home and it's just like, of course, perfectly stepped on.
Yeah. I was putting Elliot down and I just hear screeches from Oliver. Like,
no! Honestly, I would have, that's like that when you're a kid, that is just like gold. And you have these a couple occasions in the year where you get them. And
yeah, especially when your parents let you like eat all of it too.
He handled it pretty well, minus the initial meltdown. But
that's good. Life isn't fair.
It's not. He's learning quick. He's learning really quickly.
That's what's up.
Brandy, you look like you had a pretty relaxing Easter from what we saw on Instagram.
Yeah, I was kind of hitting bottom of burnout last week. So I was definitely looking for some mellow. And it was probably one of the most perfect Miami days here yesterday. And so we had like nice brunch outside and then went to the pool for a while and just read in the sun. And it was lovely. And I didn't get burned, which is also great. And then I made duck for dinner. So it was like pretty chill. It was pretty, pretty nice Sunday.
I love it. I love to
What's
hear
you, buddy?
It.
You're back in Denver. Yeah.
Back in Denver, I was going to say, I got in Saturday afternoon and immediately unpacked, got settled back into the groove of the house. And feeling good now that I'm in sunny Denver. Today is a little gloomy, but the rest of the week is going to be pretty awesome, not going to lie. So I'm going to be getting my walks in, you know, my hot guy walks, because gotta get those in. But for all the listeners the live viewers would love to know what you guys did for Easter, where you're all tuning in from. That's where you get ready to dive in. But we have a couple shout outs. And so, Michael, you want to give shout out number one?
I'll give one and two. Shout out to Zach Buzacruz, the birth of his second, Thomas. And then, yep, over the weekend.
See if I have it.
And then Rent Responsibly is doing a short-term rental industry survey. So the links will be in our notes. Please go and fill that out.
Yes, apparently you can win like $500 for doing this survey. So check it out. It's definitely. I was like, in this economy, that's great. That's a great win.
That'll so buy you I'll be some filling out, guys.
I'm filling out that survey today. Just kidding. But the other shout out we got going on is our partners and sponsors at Sojo. So you are kind of coming off of this Easter bunny high. Let's talk about imaginary things that aren't Easter bunnies. Imagine a situation where you don't have to worry about your amenities, worry about all these things that go into making sure that the shampoos are filled, that there's soap there in the kitchen, that your dishwasher has dishwasher pods, whatever it may be. You don't have to worry about that anymore because Sojo has got your back with automated amenity delivery. So just grab the link in our show notes. You get 30 days for free. It's amazing. Your housekeepers are going to love it because guess what? It's going to be all labeled and organized for them. So they know exactly where the amenity kits go. And it's easy, simple. You don't even have to think about it. So grab the link in the show notes, grab the link in the comments. And thank you guys, all of the Sojo team members. You're awesome. So let's dive in. We have a couple interesting stories. Brandy, we're very much in your world of the urban operator. I think feel like every Monday we've been covering some kind of like urban operator from Sonder down to now with Barsala, and we got Landing. So I will let you take story number one. Let's go with that.
Landing, which is the apartment subscription platform, so you can stay for a week or a year, acquired Barsala, which is another urban operator that works with a lot of institutional multifamily. So, I mean, as we've been talking about, acquisitions are going to be kind of the story theme, at least on the urban side for this year. And so first, congratulations to them. That's great. I think that Landing is taking this route of really leaning into their like platform offering versus being the boots on the ground operator. So I think that this acquisition makes sense to kind of have someone fill in that operating side for them and add to their unit count. So congratulations to everybody there. That's really exciting. I like the acquisitions instead of going out of business.
So yeah, let's see. It's a
little
nice
bit
shift.
Happier.
Still one fewer competitor in the market, though. The market is continuously consolidating through closures and acquisitions. So
yeah, I think it's going to continue to. I think the urban landscape is really brutal in a lot of ways. So people are trying to figure out, okay, what have we done well in the last 5 to 10 years, and how does that work with like maybe a smaller partner that we can buy and acquire to like offset where we're a bit weaker. But yeah, it's hard. It's hard out here.
there's not too many left.
No.
Romy's gonna start swooping some people up. I just am curious though, because like it's interesting, almost every I can't put every generalized statements out there, but the sense of urban operators using their tech side and just swooping up, like moving away from the actually boots on the ground. And just being like, hey, we're a tech platform now. Landing, like you just said, Brandy, going that route, acquiring Barsala, to be more like boots on the ground operator, and then Landing be the tech side. Is there ever going to be a successful story with this type of shift, right? Like going from operator to tech company to then, like, I don't know. I'm very curious to see if this is a...
Well, what's interesting is, so, and this is obviously anecdotal, but I was looking at apartments the other day, and in all of the like stuff for South Florida that I'm looking at, the Landing listings are front and center. So they're doing a really good job of marketing on that side, I think. And I've seen them in New Orleans as well. And so there's this kind of nebulous market that's kind of midterm rentals, we kind of call it, but people looking for furnished accommodations for these very specific reasons, like medical tourism or school or consulting for work or whatever it is. And I think that it's kind of filling in the gaps like liquid, you know, where it's you don't want an unfurnished place, but you don't want a short-term rental. And I was very skeptical about this, to be honest. I'm glad to see that they're successful and continuing to, you know, acquire other companies.
And sure, this isn't true short-term rental. It's more what used to be called corporate housing, or transient housing. So the entire corporate housing world vanished largely. All of the major incumbents. Airbnb, I'm going to misquote this, but it was something like 28% of all of its bookings in Q4 were for 30 days or longer. Some wildly higher than I would have thought number. Yeah. So a lot of those have gone that direction, which is why kind of the Blue Ground or the Barsalas or Landings have to have some presence on the OTAs or Airbnb specifically. So it's an interesting one. I wouldn't call it pure play short-term rental, but I do like, it certainly fits into the nomad lifestyle and experiences first generation.
Yeah, I would say that my only like skepticism of this is like how many people are actually doing this, because like I want to spend a week in Austin and I want to spend a month in San Francisco or whatever. Or is it more like, oh, I have this 3-month consulting contract in Austin and I need somewhere to stay? You know, I don't know. And kind of because Central has a similar model, right? And I don't know like how much
data of like, is it the individual booking or is it the company card? I don't know if there's a way to, Jamie Lane, if you're listening, if there's a way to parse the data in that way. I'm screaming for the data.
Screaming for the data. But tied into this is the second announcement with a similar platform. Blue Ground raising $45 million in their Series D. So congratulations to them. And so similarly, this is 30-day plus rental platform. And they have a bit more of a global footprint. And they've acquired some other prop tech startups. They have a Brazilian one called Tabas and also Travelers Haven. So they've been kind of corralling their acquisitions in the last year or so. But again, we'd love to see funding coming in into the space. This is great. And again, with the 30-day stay, it is... it's filling, you're right, Michael, that kind of like corporate travel vacuum that happened, I think.
It's, you can feel the funding thawing out, and it could be private funding or it could be corporate funding. But that's good for either investments or mergers acquisitions. So I think we were on a deep freeze for about a year of no major acquisitions or investments. Of course there were a couple, but across the board it had been quite a while. So I hope this trend continues, and it's not I hope it wasn't a fire sale with Barsala. Maybe it was, could have been, but hopefully it was more of a strategic investment and we see more of those coming down the pike.
I know Barsala wasn't doing so good during 2020, but they've stuck through. It's 4 years later, so it's one of the few that didn't go out of business, as you said, Brandy. Like, it's nice to see the headline changing, not being like a closure. So,
two quick mentions of companies that have done strategic acquisitions that have just popped up over the weekend. I was watching, something yesterday, and I saw a Guesty television ad. So, first time I'd ever seen one. Have you guys ever seen one before?
No. Well, and I mean, I'm not watching a lot of cable, but it's honestly, it's so funny to see like STR things in the real world, in the wild, because we're just so in our vacuum that when you see it like out and about, it's just kind of jarring.
Do they pixel me, or is this just like a broad-based ad? Hopefully it's not a broad-based ad, because they're going to be missing the mark way more times than not, but
it's probably a bit more targeted.
I would expect so, but yeah, that was, I saw this integrated calendar and I was like, what is this? And then it led on to Guesty at the end, but cool to see something in the wild.
Well, sorry,
just on that note, we've been talking about this like push from all the OTAs, and now podcasts that I listen to that have nothing to do with this industry, they're like my put my brain on a shelf podcast. Their ad reads are like booking.com, Airbnb, and I'm like, it's it's impossible to escape.
Yeah. I was watching the NC State game versus Duke last night, and Vrbo ad came on right out the gate, Airbnb ad on top of it. And all my friends, of course, as we're watching the game, like, was that a good commercial? Did you think that was a pretty good one for them? Is that funny? I was like, yeah, it was great.
Yeah. I mean, we reported a couple weeks ago that ad spend for the OTAs is up 20% this year. So book direct. but no, really, if you think you're competing with them, you're not. Hopefully you can build a good strategy and have some diversification. But at the end of the day, they're going to outspend you. They're going to outspend all of us combined, really. And then the other really cool thing that I saw launch over the weekend, maybe one of you guys has a little more insight into this, or we could wait till Jamie's on to discuss it, but AirDNA launched zoning data. So people can know the three categories are zone permits, STRs, does not permit STRs, and it's unknown. I'm curious how many fall in the unknown category, because I've attempted to track this data before when I was at NoiseAware. It's ever changing. Like, it's just this continuously moving target. So I want to learn more about it, Jamie. We'll chat next time you're on.
So helpful, though. I mean, I think about when we were starting off. I mean, even not when we were starting off, when you're just looking to acquire new buildings and or new properties, whatever level that you're on, like zoning and regulation is one of the biggest like killers. You could just be halfway through closing on something and, you know, find out that something has changed. So this is incredibly helpful.
100%. And it's interesting because AirDNA has an office here in Denver. And Denver specifically, every county, every line basically has a specific regulation on zoning. And there's a lot of like my investor friends out here. They're, oh, I'm in this neighborhood because there's only 35 permits and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, they're tapped into the zoning way more than most operators because of the market specifically you have to be. But I think it's a great tool. And now that's like, I don't have to be like hitting up my friend Chantel with Good Neighbor Realty. Shout out to Chantel. But be like hitting up like, hey, is this okay area? Like, am I allowed to operate an STR here, or is this no? So, or is this going under regulation? Because they're tapped into that too. So it's really good to see that there's a data platform for it now.
Well, we walked right into this segue. Thank you for mentioning regulation. So
you're welcome.
The head nailed it. The headline topic of the day is the DOJ with they're inquisitive on hotel room price fixing algorithms. And if anyone stayed in a hotel in the past 2 years, the price has jumped exponentially. We've all kind of written that off as inflation, but could it be backroom dealings and algorithm fixings and collusion and antitrust and all of the fun big government words? 70% of hotels in the US are branded something. So it is a vast majority of hotels that are not independent that are truly branded. And if they're branded, they're going to be run or priced through corporate in many cases. Not every case. A lot of them have their own local, but they use certain tools. Brandy, any thoughts?
Yeah.
What have you seen firsthand?
Well, I've just said, you know, my very limited law knowledge, but I think there's the two sides to this I can see pretty clearly. Like, on one side, from the DOJ's perspective, like, this is, you know, you have an enormous amount of power with a very concentrated few hotels, you know, hotel brands, and that's really limiting to customer choice and competitiveness, because realistically, like, if one of those hotels makes a change, they're all going to follow suit and your hotel is punished if you're not kind of falling in line. And then on the other side of this, I see, like, yeah, everybody's using algorithms and they're all based on the data of the, you know, the data set around you and what everybody else is pricing at. So if someone, you know, raises pricing and you can see that you can also get that, like, I can see why the algorithms are working. And I don't know enough about the, you know, the antitrust laws, but I would say that they probably have to be updated for our generation. And then on the other side, I would say that it's probably possible that the hotels were all like, yeah, let's just hike this up a little bit. I mean, that's not an unrealistic possibility. So I don't know, like, what the, how these, like, this is like a statement of interest. So, like, how, because the main case is taking place in Atlantic City, where a group of people are filing a class action suit against the hotels for price fixing in Atlantic City.
Versus Caesars Entertainment is the,
yeah.
Yeah.
So this Gamblers is like a
price fixing, huh?
Interesting. So yeah, so it's interesting. I mean, it, I think it kind of how it segues or ties into the STR industry is, like, a lot of us use pricing platforms, right? Like Wheelhouse, Beyond, Price Labs, whatever. And so, you know, what does that mean for these groups that are using shared algorithms to set their pricing? And I did think that one thing that was interesting was that one of the defenses, like, these are just like suggestions of what you could do. And so you're not forced to, but that's pretty much what you're paying. Like, we don't take every single suggestion, but you're using that as the basis for your pricing, or you wouldn't be paying for it.
Yeah. And look, I don't know. I'm not a law person. So, like, disclosure or disclaimer for all listeners potentially listening to this, like, this is not legal advice. None of us are talking or giving any financial or legal advice on this podcast. Covering our bases there. Don't want to get sued, just like Caesars Entertainment. But look, I think this is a far reach. I honestly do think this is, like, complete a BS like lawsuit, in the sense of, okay, there's no direct collusion. There's no direct messaging saying, hey, you know, Caesars, blah, 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 this and that. Like, you guys should raise your prices and let's all, you know, let's outprice everybody in the market, well, right?
We don't know that.
That's what it says in the article from the
okay, well, then article we do there. Know that.
It says, okay, so I'm going off of the data I have. We'll put a link in the show notes for listeners to read the statement of interest. But what I'm, like, I'm on the side of, okay, let's say I'm on Wheelhouse. Does that mean all my competitors in my markets that are using Wheelhouse are now in collusion because we're raising our prices, like you said, Brandy, on the basis of the recommendation on our dynamic pricing software? I think this is the classic, like, act of the government that's out of touch and doesn't understand what dynamic pricing is. And this group of people, whoever they are, I didn't do any research into that. Whoever they are, they're probably just upset that they paid $350 a night or whatever for a hotel and maybe just got a clean room and didn't get any service on top of it to make it worth the stay. And now they're upset. So I could be wrong, but I think this is a classic overreach of the government, in my opinion.
Yeah, we're in an interesting time where there's definitely antitrust behavior from some of the world's largest companies. We see it. Apple's being sued in Europe right now. There are a few major companies that own every industry, essentially. Now, are we there yet in short-term rentals? Not even close. Could it be in 10 years that Airbnb, with adding all of these tools that they own, these single hosts worldwide, that very quickly could be antitrust? Well, quickly, in 5-10 years, right? If everyone has all of their properties, they do all of their pricing through Airbnb, they do all of their locks through Airbnb, that will probably at some point be deemed antitrust behavior. So the options are for Vrbo to follow suit or to run away from it, for Booking to follow suit or run away from it, for a third, fourth competitor to pop in. You know, I'm fascinated to see the long-term play of it, but if they're already looking at hotels, I mean, there's 5, 6, 7 major flags. It's not consolidated to one or two at least. So that's good. I'm with you. I generally think that there's a high unlikelihood of any collusion between that many parties, especially, they run the gambit on competition too. They're some are head to head and some are, you know, choice doesn't compete with the core. Right. So yeah, I don't think this one's going to go anywhere. I'm more fascinated in what Airbnb looks like in 5 to 10 years.
That's the point, because I've like repeatedly have said, you know, Airbnb reminds me so much of Apple, of creating this ecosystem that is like impossible to get out of, as like a stalwart Apple user myself. And, you know, now you're seeing these antitrust suits coming against Apple, and you're like, yeah, I mean, it seemed like the trust, like kind of the situation, monopoly situation that we were all just kind of like okay with. But I could see if Airbnb goes down this route, like, and there's like creating the ecosystem component. But then I think what's more interesting is in the pricing, if they're just like, you know, they have their smart pricing or whatever that you could base off of. But if they're just kind of constantly pushing those prices lower, which is like that's a very open fact that they have tried to, it's a goal of theirs. And then you also have them controlling where you fall on the page. And so if you're, you know, not following their pricing guidelines and you just get bumped to page 6 or page 8, like that is where I think this all becomes a bit murky. And there might be like enough to do that now and not wait 5 to 10 years for them to become even bigger.
Trust the algos, baby. Trust the algos. Trust the science.
I don't know. I feel like I can go on a huge rampage with this, but I'm going to save it for another day. Just I want to be well-spoken and well-researched on it. I just think it's very, very interesting, especially like the monopoly side I get, but I'm also on the side of, is it really a monopoly when the product is really good? Like, let's say, you know, Apple, for example. Yes. Like, I don't think so. You have a choice. You have a choice of you getting an Android and doing all this other stuff. Like, it's not forced down your throat. So like, that's where I'm like, at the end of the day, if Apple's got a great product, they built a great ecosystem, they should be able to continue to grow and find ways to do it. I think that's kind of the whole point of, you know, America. Like, we have the right to dream big, and if that means growing and building out a whole ecosystem, why not?
So, oh boy, we don't have enough minutes left to go down this route.
I know.
No problem with Apple, except all of their different plugs. Drives me crazy.
Well, that's changing now too.
I know.
So, yeah,
those things are beneficial. Reel them in. Reel them in.
Yeah. Except now I'm in this awkward phase where I have like all of my things have the different chargers. I need to just get on the same, like the newest level of everything. I know. It's all so crazy.
Interesting. I think we all have different views on antitrust here. But anyways. Great episode, guys. So good to see your faces on Monday morning.
Yeah.
Anything great fun exciting coming up this week? Before we wrap,
I start my April to October wedding gamut next weekend. So pray for me.
Did you say October?
Yeah, from next weekend to the like end of September, I have either weddings or the events associated with those weddings, like constantly. So
you're so popular. How do we get as cool as Brandy where we're in weddings all the time?
Luckily, I have passed that stage of life. I'm a little older than y'all. So
what about you, Michael? Anything exciting? Anything fun?
Yeah, I got some good stuff coming up this weekend. Hopefully can share more this week. Hopefully can share more in the weeks to come, but I'm on the road.
Oh, you're on the road. Yeah. Exciting. Yeah. Okay. Interesting. Yeah. Interesting. We never get Michael on the road anymore.
Not awesome. As often as it used to be. That's for sure.
Yeah, that's for damn sure. Awesome. Well, we onboarded a new team member today at HFM, so super excited to welcome a new member. But outside of that, it's just back to the normal grind. So for all of our listeners, subscribers, live viewers, Tanner, we see you. Shout out to you for commenting on the USB cable invented. So yeah, thank you guys so much for tuning in. Thank you to our partners at Sojo for making these episodes so much fun to do, and obviously with your great products. And of course, like always, make sure you like and subscribe, check out the show on YouTube, do all the things, follow us on LinkedIn. LinkedIn page is growing real good. So love you guys. Keep doing it. And like always, we'll see you again next week.